guests that come in? Are those things important? Is it important that the choir has rehearsed and got the songs right before they come in? Is it important that you know what you're going to say before you get up? Some people would say, no, it's the thought that counts. Some would say that the Lord is not impressed with those things, with a good-looking program or flashy audio visuals and all those things. But what really matters is the internal things, the eternal, the things like our love and like our compassion and our humility. All these things are right, but I tell you what, but there's something more. Although God doesn't care those things of themselves, the Lord is concerned with our hearts. The Lord is concerned with our hearts, and he's concerned with our hearts because our hearts affect the way we carry out the work he's given us to do. God and the people around you every day can see the written word and God living in your heart by the level of commitment, the level of devotion, the level of excellence in which you carry out what you've been given to do. The word says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto God and not unto men. So the answer is a resounding yes. Resounding yes, he does. It does matter. Why is it important to do what we do unto God and not unto men? Because sometimes men and women will get on your last nerve. All right. Sometimes men and women, if you do it unto them, no matter what you do, it won't please them anyway. So you need to be doing what you're doing under God. There was a couple. This couple was invited to have dinner. They were invited by two neighbors. The first neighbor invited them on Tuesday. The second neighbor invited them on a Wednesday. The first neighbor invited him on Tuesday. Was a wealthy neighbor, had a big, huge house, big old yard, big tables, everything. And they came over to go to dinner. And when they got there, they knocked on the door. And it seemed like their host wasn't even ready for them to be there. They had all kind of expensive food, but it was awkward. Truth be told, the couple couldn't wait to leave. Wednesday rolls around and they were still thinking of the experiences of Tuesday, and they went to a neighbor's house, but this neighbor didn't have much money. But when they invited the couple in, the house was clean. It looked as if everybody was standing dressed right, dressed, ready for them to come in. And for those of you all in the military, you know what that means. That's an army term? Amen. That's the branch, army. Amen. My sister, if she was here, she'd differ. She's retired Air Force. But anyway, this couple was ready to receive their neighbors. And these hosts had taken great care to establish and get everything ready and make great preparations. They didn't have all the expensive food that the other couple had. But what they had, they prepared it in love. There was great fellowship. And at the very end of the night, the couple dreaded that they had to go home. They had a wonderful time. I want to ask you something. Which one of these neighbors do you think showed the most love to this couple? Surely it was the poor neighbor. Which one of these neighbors said, "You matter to me"? It was the poor neighbor. Why? Because they went about everything they did as unto the Lord and wanted those individuals to know, you matter to me. There's nothing better than someone who's near you that makes you feel like you matter to them. I want you to know that husbands and wives, if you want to have a long, happy marriage, make sure that your partner knows you matter to me. If you want to make your pastor's life a little less burdensome, let him know you matter to me. God deserves our first fruit. So that's the best that we have to offer. So yes, he does care about excellence. And the second question is, should we strive for excellence? For those of you who are called into ministry in whatever form it may be, for those of you who call yourself by the name of Christ, a Christian, should you strive for excellence? Well, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalms 145:3. You are worthy, O Lord, O God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created by and have their being. Revelation 4:11. Have you ever given your best to someone only to find that they didn't deserve it? Amen, lights. In case y'all are wondering, this is water. Amen. Have you ever given your best to someone and found later that they didn't deserve it? Have you ever given your best to someone and found that they took your best and stepped all over it? That person may have been an employer, may have been a friend, may have been a husband, a wife, a religious leader, a politician. And if you felt that way, you probably felt disappointed. However, God sent me by today to tell you that if you put your faith in Him and trust Him in excellence, you will never be disappointed. He told me to let you know that if you choose to serve Him in excellence, that you will find that He is worthy. He will never let you down. He is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our labor. He is worthy of our late night tears. He is worthy of our early morning rising. He is worthy of our sacrifices. He is worthy of our giving things up for. He is worthy of our best. God is worthy. So should we strive for excellence? Yes, we should. You know, I'm a history buff somewhat, and I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite histories is African-American black history. Amen. But I'm also cognizant of the part of knowing that we are all a part of a global history. So I'm into history altogether. And I want to read you something from a historic moment. Winston Churchill said during his first speech to the House of Commons, 3 days after becoming the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and right before, at the tip of the beginning of World War II, he said, as he was being brought in as the leader of Great Britain, a major power, he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal, a most grievous kind. We have before us many and many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? And I can say it is to wage war by sea, by land, by air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against the monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in darkness, a lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word: victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long, however hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Let that be realized. No survival for the British Empire. No survival for all that the British Empire stands for. But what I want you to hear me say today is, more than any country, more than any empire, the Lord is worthy. I want you to hear me say that He is worthy of our blood, our toil, our sweat. He is worthy of our best efforts. He is worthy of our highest achievement. He is worthy of excellence. There are many noble causes that we can devote ourselves to, both small and large. Collecting stamps, building old cars, practicing medicine or law, climbing the Mount Everest, building a business, running public office, raising a family, keeping our lawn well mowed, feeding the homeless, clothing the naked, tutoring disabled children, staying physically fit, finding a cure for cancer. Some of these causes are more worthy than others, but there is only one cause that is worthy of every ounce of our work, every ounce of our devotion, our labor, our sacrifice, our suffering, and our dedication. Only one cause that is worth giving our lives for day in and day out. There's only one cause worth serving with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. My brothers and sisters, I tell you today that Mount Everest will crumble. I tell you today that galaxies will burn out. I tell you today that empires will rise and they will fall. Presidents will be named and they will go away. But I want you to know that your body will fall apart. If you've been old for just a little bit, if you're over the age of 40, I'm sure you've had things start falling apart. Pastor, I'm 57 years old and already had double hip replacement. Amen. But I am convinced that if I hold on to the Lord and seek His excellence, that I will have God's kingdom eternal. And I know that those who serve Him will serve Him in excellence and they will receive a crown. So whatever job we do, whatever work we do it with all our heart, working is unto the Lord and not unto men. Since we know that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Notice not for men. So I want you to know, no matter what's going on in our lives, sometimes it may appear that you work for a boss. Sometimes it may appear that you work for people that don't appreciate you. Sometimes you work for people that'll smile in your face and talk about you behind your back. Sometimes you're even related to folks that don't even want you to come by their house. But God did not give you the freedom to give them a piece of your mind. You know, one of my frat brothers a long time ago, he said that you got to be careful for giving people a piece of your mind. You need to make sure you got enough to operate on when you do that. Verner Woodson Tandy. Amen. But I want you to hear me in saying today, no matter what you're doing, however you're serving the Lord, it may appear that you're serving other people, but you are serving God. I don't care whether you work for a home builder or an insurance company. I don't care if you're a young one and you're in school and you're having to do what your teachers told you to do and the professors. If you're working for a church, if you're just simply a disciple of Jesus, if you're an usher, if you're a choir member, if you're a preacher or a pastor, no matter what you are doing it as unto the Lord. And you must do it in excellence. And the third question I would ask you, should we give God our best? Pastor got up before we were given the offering and talked about the word out of the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? Should we give God our best? We give God our best because He first gave us His best. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. The book of Romans 8 chapter and 32nd verse tells me that he who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You want to know how you get all things? Be all into God, and He'll take care of you. Don't you go out chasing it on your own. But yes, God does deserve our best. Nothing we ever could give God will ever measure up to what God has done for us. Nothing that we ever do will mount up to anything. But I'll tell you what, it should drive us to excellence, to give our Lord our best. You know, I know that we have a short period of time, so I'm going to come into a conclusion. The late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, in his last speech, it almost didn't happen. And it almost didn't happen because the civil rights leader had been running a fever. And he thought that there was a major storm that was coming through Memphis at the time. And as a result of it, the people wouldn't come out to the Mason Temple to hear him speak. So he had planned at that time what he was going to do was just stay home, get well, and work on his mission for the Poor People's Campaign, which was a priority for him. But in excellence, God didn't allow him to do that. Dr. King went to the temple on April 3rd, 1968, and delivered his "I've Been to the Mountaintop" speech. And those who are close to him saw this as a premonition of what was in store for the future. When he arrived in Memphis, he was already told that there were death threats. When he arrived in Memphis, and even before then, he already knew that his life was in danger. But I want you to know something. When you've been called to excellence, you might hear words like these: "But it really doesn't matter anymore with me, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." I want you to know that when he spoke those prophetic words, he didn't speak them of himself. He did not realize that God was already at work renewing for him. He didn't realize that the chariot was already on its way down to bring him home. Because you see, when you're searching for excellence, God already has things in store and already at work. You lose focus on what's in front of what's around you and only concentrate on the prize in front of you. Because the next day, Dr. King was assassinated by an assassin's bullet on Lorraine Hotel on the balcony. Despite death, service to God and his fellow persons drove him to excellence. Not serving self, not comfort, not mediocrity. Standing for the rights of others and choosing to go. He stood for the rights of others rather than choosing to go along with what was a safer wrong. Brothers and sisters, stand for what's right today rather than choosing the safer wrong. Today, each of us have been called of lives of service, not lives of comfort and mediocrity. We've been called to lives of excellence and serving the Lord. The question then remains, will you answer the call? The question then remains, how will you answer it? Grudgingly, or say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." I pray that you will say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." And that the very end, when we cross over this from this life to Jordan, that we will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter now into thy joy of the Lord." Amen. Amen.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. If you are new to our city, and you haven't found a church home, or you haven't found a church that you like, or that you think like you, the invitation after a powerful message invites you to come. Get up from your seat. Our deacons are ready to receive you. We'll be going in the next 10 minutes. Church will be over, but we invite you to come now. Oh, yeah. If you feel like God has abandoned you, get up from your seat. Come reclaim your relationship with God. The door to the Father's house is open. Jesus Christ has declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Standing on your feet, all of us, would you please stand? said,
if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart.
You may be seated. Our theme for 2019 is reclaiming, renewing, and reassigning. We ask you to reclaim your relationship with Christ and let him renew, and then let him reassign you. He can use you if you give your life to him. And the people of God said amen. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Help me thank our preacher, the Reverend Roy Walker,
amen,
for a great message. Help me thank Reverend Leroy Gaylor for letting the Lord use him in song. To all of our clergy persons and members who have helped us today in this worship experience, it has been a great experience for me to listen and to witness your servant ministry. Lest I forget, Deltas, this is the church home of Myra Davis Hemings, one of the founders of your great sorority. She had just made an announcement to the church, walked off those steps, got to the second pew, and the Lord called her home in worship. What a lovely way to go home. Praising God, accepting his invitation. So we say thank you for coming today. Thank you. Thank you. Comes now my privilege to call three families to come forward. God, charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, never dying soul to save, fitted for the sky. And so I invite now these three families to come forward. Deacon Candidate Dupree Adams, would you please come and face the altar? Deacon Candidate Archie Brown and Terry Brown, would you please come? Deacon Candidate Charlie and Sandra Wesley, would you please come? Deacons, would you give them a bulletin? They have to repeat the covenant that they make with the church and with Christ. Page 9. Page 9. Candidates, when, as a deacon, I state your name. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Candidate, As a deacon, I, state your name. Deacons of Second Baptist Church are in total agreement with this covenant, and they further covenant with the church to adhere to these principles in their lifestyles and ministry as deacons. Let me ask all of our deacons to stand with them, to form a semicircle around them. Reverend Ennis, would you please come forward and give the charge to our deacons?
To our deacons, I charge you to serve others with a humble and willing attitude. Servanthood is putting others before self. Secondly, I charge you and encourage you to live up to the standard set forth in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. And thirdly, I charge you to be full of wisdom, self-control, and the Holy Spirit, living and serving as you represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I charge you to be faithful and supportive to the pastoral leadership of Second Baptist Church. To the congregation of Second Baptist, I would ask you also to stand. The responsibilities which these officers are now called upon to assume cannot be discharged by them alone. They have promised, insofar as they are able, to serve their offices well, but their best efforts will fall a fulfillment unless they are supported by the wholehearted and consistent cooperation of all the members of this church. So I ask you, Second Baptist, and charge you to support these brothers and sisters who are taking on this leadership role here in Second Baptist as deacon and deaconess of Second Baptist. May I have an amen in support of them.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
This is Jacqueline Jemison, pastor's wife, first lady of Second Baptist Church.
Congratulations, Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Wesley. This path, this walk, this journey you have embarked upon is helpmate to your spouse as he accepts the ministry of deacon. Will bring its own set of challenges, but the Word of God offers encouragement to the believer. For he has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." The road may be paved, but there are times you may encounter pebbles or stones along the way. Isaiah tells us, "In the Lord God, you have an everlasting rock." The Christian walk is not immune from challenges, moments of doubt, loss, or sadness, but God's desire is to prosper you and not harm you. The path may at times appear tedious or long, but he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This is a journey, and as you begin this walk of ministry, the book of Deuteronomy tells us the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. As you face the challenge of ministry, 1 Corinthians 4 tells us, do not lose heart. Our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. A word to the wise. On this path, don't expect a crystal stair. That's not a part of the journey. I close with a familiar scripture from Corinthians. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. May God bless you as you begin this journey of ministry to God's people. And may you always look to God's word for the encouragement that we as Christians must rely upon. God bless you, and may his peace be with you.
I invite all clergy, ordained clergy, all clergy, to come stand with our deacons and with these deacon candidates. And if you are a deacon in a local church, or if you have ever been ordained a deacon, I invite you also to come and to stand with them. All clergy, all deacons. Jackson.
Let every heart pray. Our Father and our God, according to your will and by your providence, these men arrive at this point, in this place, at this time. Lord, we pray that as they begin this season of servanthood in this ministry that you have directed them to, we pray, first of all, that you would continue to remind them that you have been with them this far, and that you have promised to be with each of us unto the end. We know, Father, that there will be struggles, obstacles, difficulties. So, Father, we pray that in those times of discouragement, that by the direction of your Holy Spirit, you would offer peace. In their times of uncertainty, we pray that you would offer assurance. And in times of fear, we pray that you would offer your strength. Lord, we would pray that you would continue to remind them of the commitment that they have made to you and to your people to serve and to love, to give, to worship, and that they would stand before your people as men who have devoted themselves to the service of God. We pray for their wives. We pray for their families.
Yeah.
That when they need support, when they need help and assistance, that you would bring back to their remembrance that this is your doing.
Yeah.
This is by your will.
Yeah.
And that you have promised to be a very present God.
That's
in time of trouble. And then, Lord, we pray for this church and for all who make up the Second Baptist Church family.
Yeah, yeah.
That we would love, that we would support, and that we would follow leadership.
Yes.
And in all things, seeking to proclaim the name of Jesus.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Exalt God our Father.
Yeah.
And serve our fellow man.
Yeah.
That when it's all said and done,
yes,
Jesus Christ would be glorified.
Yeah, yeah.
Through our work, through our labor, through our service, and through our love for each other. We thank you again for this time and for this hour. We pray your continued blessings upon these families and this church.
Yeah, yeah.
And in all who are gathered here on this day to witness your work. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Brothers, would you put your hands on God's holy word? God said to Moses, when Aaron blesses the people, tell him to say these words: the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious unto you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may rise. You may face. You may face these deacons as they extend to you, and these clergy persons as they extend to you the right hand of fellowship, granting you the rights and privileges of any ordained deacon in the life of Second Baptist. And we congratulate Mrs. Brown, Mrs. Wesley. Understand your mother's here. God bless her as well. Clergy, you may move. After you have greeted them, you may return to your seat. Deaconess, trustee wives, you may greet your new brothers and sisters.
Hey, I just put them Bible, them books that ain't can't have.
Oh.
I'm talking about this book. This book. I'd say it came from a deacon, so he might not be mad.
Any family member or friend who would like to come and greet them? Any family member or friend who would like to come and greet them? It gives me great pleasure to give you your working tools. Your working tools is not a Robert's rule of order. Hello.
Hello.
It's God's holy word. Read it, study it, and let it order your steps. The other working tool is a hymn book. Sometimes Archie, Deacon Brown.
Thank you.
Sometimes you need to look through the hymnal and remember that you're a sinner, and you can say, Wesley, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, save the wretch like me. The working tools, Bible, hymn book, and you'll learn to pray. Deacon Brown, same thing applies for you. Deacon Wesley, same thing applies. Bible, hymn book. Deaconess Brown, Deaconess Wesley, you have God's word. Read it, study it. You have a study Bible that gives you and your husband an opportunity to sit together and to reflect on God's word and what it means and how you should operate your life with your husband, with the church community, and with the community of the global community, not just San Antonio, but the global community as well. We welcome you. To remind you of this day, didn't have your name on it. It has Second Baptist Church and your servant role. Deacon. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we have two others. Deacon Smith, who is the treasure of the church. He'll know what you gave. Deacon Smith. Reverend Jackson, would you receive this for the chairman of our board, Deacon Jackson? And now it's your time for remarks. You remember we said that the remarks would be as long as you wanted them. Lectern, left or right. Brother Adams. Deacon.
Thank you, church, for being here. Thank you, pastor, church family. This is a humbling day for me. I'm very proud to be in this position. I never thought I'd be here. But also, looking at that red, the deltas, and my wife, Dean Blair Adams, and we're going to name that room for her. To see y'all all here makes it even more special. So I won't hold you longer. I just want to thank God and thank everyone for being here, and I will do my utmost to do this correctly and be here for the church. Thank you.
First, giving honor to God the Father, for whom all blessings flow, to my pastor, Reverend Dr. Robert L. Jemison, our special speaker, Reverend Walker, associate ministers, members, and friends. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we would be glad. I am so joyful. I've come a long ways. I remember when Dr. Thurston approached me and asked me, what do you think about being a deacon? I had to sit back and think about it a while, and I thought sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. And I just knew it's about time for me to be about my Father's business. So I'm so thrilled and joy, and to have my wife by my side to go through the course with me, what a blessing. And to have my family, and the greatest joy for me is to have my mother here, 96 years young. Stand up, mother. Don't tell me God isn't good. Don't tell me God isn't good. And to have my son and grandchildren and my brother-in-law and all my dance family, as you know, I kind of laugh about it when people say, what type of deacon are you going to be? Well, I kind of compare myself to David. David used to dance, and people thought he lost. I'm going to be a dancing deacon. I'm going to praise God through song and dance. Song and dance. But just I'm so humble and thankful, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to give back, to bless others that I've been blessed.
I would just like to say that I am so blessed and so thankful that I get to stand beside this wonderful man. I was like, where is he? As we go through this journey, and I'm a part of his journey. Thank you so much for your blessings and your prayers.
Giving praise and honor to God, the head of my life, and to our pastor, our guest speaker, and all the guest ministers in the pulpit. And I'd just like to say that I'm deeply humbled by this honor that's been bestowed upon me. And I'd like to thank the deacon that recommended me for this great honor. Even though he looked and saw that I wasn't a perfect man, he thought of being worthy to be a deacon, and I thank him for that. And being in a deacon is a very noble calling, and it's one that I don't take lightly. And excuse me, but it's one that I take seriously, and I can promise you one thing, that I will work to the best of my ability that God gave me. Thank you.
Amen.
I'd like to thank my wife, who's been a tremendous help for me, and on her resume she didn't put on there, but she's been 22 years in the military, but she's been around the world twice. And she didn't mention that she has another degree, and that's in PhD in speaking. She loves to talk. but she's never boring. And I'd like to acknowledge my 89-year-old mother-in-law, which is Sandy's mother. She's in the audience also. And I'd like her to stand. Thank you.
These deacons and their wives.
Perfect students. They said to me that the best part of being of going through the training was learning what their gifts were. Deacon Jackson did the training on spiritual gifts, and Deacon Brown learned that his spiritual gift was not that of singing. But we praise God. I'm humbled by what we have done and what you have participated in and what you have given leadership to. And I said something to Second Baptist when I came 25 years ago. You won't have to worry about your money, and you won't have to worry about your wife, your daughter, or your son. Your pastor will be the pastor that you want me to be. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of serving all of you, Second Baptist. And now we name the choir room after Dina Blair Adams. Dina Blair Adams was a member of this church for many, many years, serving as Girl Scout leader, known through the city, and brought great light on Second Baptist. When we dismiss, if you like to see the choir room, her picture is there. I would ask that you go through the chapel, come out the chapel, and as you come down the hallway, look to your left, and you'll see where her name will be permanently placed in the life and the history of Second Baptist. Trustee Dr. Marie Thurston.
Pastor Jimerson, Pastor Walker, and pulpit guests, we are pleased and honored to be a part of the naming of the choir room, where Mrs. Deanie Blair Adams participated in the church choir ministry. Today, this room becomes the Dean Blair Choir Room. Deanie earned this honor by her actions. She was talented, she was dependable, she was lovely inside and out. That was Dean. She demonstrated her faithfulness by her attention to her mother during her mother's illness until her mother passed away. She demonstrated her faithfulness to Second Baptist by her faithfulness to the Contemporaries Choir. Her memory lives and will continue to live on. A special thank you to one of our today's honorees, Deacon Dupree Adams, her husband, for remembering his wife in such a lovely way. Thank you, Deacon Adams. Today, the choir room is now officially the Dean Blair Choir Room. Thank you.
Put one down.
As Reverend Johnson comes, we're going to ask him to bless the food. You're invited to go over to the fellowship hall. I'm sorry, to the Second Baptist Church Community Center. Archie has, what, five tables reserved? Five tables reserved. Wesley, how many tables? I have one table reserved. And Adam, how many? Three. Okay, if you see their names on the table and they didn't ask you to sit with them, some people you just got to be clear with. At my table, it would be all the clergy and their wives, and Mrs. Jemison, who is my wife, and Robert and Sherita and McKinley and Robert the Third. We had a great time. We had a great time celebrating Grandmother and Grandfather's Day at Robert's school. He is what is he, Jackie? He's in kindergarten. And he looked up and saw us, and he just went crazy. But he held his cool. He did what he was supposed to do. The food will be blessed. That means all you do is go in, claim your seat, go through the line, get the food, enjoy the rest of the day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Would you give the Browns and Brother Adams and the Wesleys the opportunity to lead us out of worship? Amen. So they can make their way over to the reception area. We're standing and we're singing, Onward Christian Soldiers. Johnson. Would you pay attention to the benediction and the blessing of the food?
I would ask each of you to hold someone's hand next to you, please. Would you hold somebody's hand? Father God, how blessed we are yet to be in this holy place, your house of prayer. We're thankful that you smile upon each of us. We pray now, Lord, that we would listen to your blessed Son, Jesus. For I heard Jesus say to each of us, who are truly born again, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father God, as we leave this place, we ask that you would take complete control of our mind, our body, heart, and soul, that we might be obedient to your word. For I heard you say to each of us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Christ was dead and buried, but on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Go with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Special word of thank you to our music department for the music today. Go in peace.